Hello and welcome or welcome back. This is Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. Today, talking about conflict and specifically conflict coaching. So the first thing I'm going to do is walk through a model for conflict and managing it, and then walk through how that applies in different coaching scenarios. So to start, the model that I created based on years of work doing mediation, training mediators, is quite simple, easy to apply, and very effective. Simply remember the word stop, as in stop conflict. So the first letter stands for stories. What that means is that each person gets a chance to share their story. It is absolutely essential that they are heard and understood, and that they know they've been heard and understood. The T stands for topics. It, quite simply, a list of topics or points or pieces or elements to address in the conversation. What has to be handled? What's important about a list of topics is that it be the list of topics for everyone involved in the conflict. And it must be one list, because if different people have separate lists, they remain separate. So having one list of topics, whatever topic anyone in the group or in the individual conflict feels has to be addressed, gets included. And it's a first step in bringing people together. Once you have the list of topics, the next step is to figure out which one you're going to discuss in which order. Sometimes it's obvious, hey, there's a quick win right here. Let's get that and move forward. Other times it's, hey, this topic has to be decided because everything else is dependent on the answer to this one. It can vary. So you're deciding which topic to address first. Once that's in place, the next step is O for options. What's important about options is that every person involved in the conflict add multiple options, because if they only add one option, then in their mind, that's it. That's the only option there is. So multiple options. Once you've got multiple options from each person involved, then it's a matter of choosing which option you're going to use. Sometimes it's obvious one rises to the top. Sometimes it becomes a combination of options. Sometimes you eliminate options and back into it. It does vary based on what it is for the people involved in the conflict. If they're getting stuck, you can ask them questions such as, what happens if you don't resolve this? What's your best possible outcome? What's your worst possible outcome here? And you can move through and explore that to help them choose which option. Once they have chosen their options, the P is for plan. They're going to plan who's going to do what, by when will they do it, and how will they do it to resolve this and move forward. So now let's talk about that model in a coaching engagement. So a very common possibility is that you're coaching one person and they are dealing with the conflict with somebody else. So how does this model apply? Well, in a case like that, starting with stories, you have them tell their story, their perspective, what it is for them. And while they're telling their story, it is absolutely essential that you are actively listening. And included with active listening means that you rephrase what they say, summarize it succinctly, use their key words. Now, if they're using really negative or antagonistic language, neutralize it. So you still want to incorporate their language. It is that some of those antagonistic or negative words are replaced with neutral words. So you rephrase what they say. you also want to reflect back what they didn't say, their emotions behind the words. Once you have rephrased and reflected back and they have confirmed that understanding, well, first off, now they know they've been heard and understood. And then and only then are they ready to move forward. So what you're going to do next is then say to them, okay, pretend like I don't know anything about this. I haven't heard anything yet. And pretend like that other person is sitting here and they're telling me about this conflict. How will they describe it? And you have your client explain the conflict from the other person's perspective. It's a fabulous way to create awareness. And you use the same active listening. Rephrase and reflect back what it seems that person is thinking and feeling. If it seems there may be a different possibility with that, you can make that observation as well. When you have completed that process and confirmed a common understanding there, you're ready to move on to the T. So with the T stage, the topics, you ask your client what topics they believe are to be addressed to resolve this. And make sure they're listing everything. Ask that what else question multiple times. When they have everything out that they believe has to be addressed, then say to them, okay, pretend like the other person is sitting here and we're asking them what they believe has to be addressed. What will they add to this list? And you again invite them to step outside of themselves. You're creating awareness. Ask them to add to the list of topics based on the perspective of the other person. Once you have the full list of topics, you ask them which one they want to address in which order. And do explore that with them. If you're noticing, hey, it seems this is the quick win, you can share that observation. If you're noticing that other topics seem to be dependent on one of them, you can share that if they don't bring it up themselves. Now, here's the key. As a coach, if you're making the observation, you have zero investment in it. That means you make it and you invite them to do what they want with that observation. They can take it or leave it. It is totally up to them. However, they want to move forward. You get the list of topics in the order they want to address them. Once you have done that, you move to the options stage. Very similar process here. You ask them what the options are. And you ask them what else and what else until they come up with multiple options. Now, a few things can happen here, and we want to talk technique for moving past them. The first one, fairly common, is you ask for options and the person says, I don't know. So how do you handle that? The technique here is amazing to me, how simple it is and how well it works. If somebody says, I don't know, the response is, okay, you accept it. And then you go on to say, well, and if you did know, what's a possible answer? And by saying, if you did know, what's a possible answer? It's amazing how often they will come up with something. If that one doesn't work, they're still struggling. Use techniques that take them out of themselves. So that may include saying to them, if you went to a colleague or a boss or a friend or a parent or a sibling or whatever, whoever is appropriate, depending on the circumstances, and you ask them, what recommendations will they have? You're taking them out of themselves and they can give you recommendations from somebody else's perspective. Another option here, if they're stuck, is you say, okay, pretend like I'm you and I'm dealing with this. What advice do you have for me? Well, in essence, they're giving themselves advice because the advice they're giving for you is essentially what they're going to say to themselves in that circumstance. So there are multiple ways to approach it. The key being they come up with multiple options. as a coach, if they're still getting stuck, you can ask permission to brainstorm with them. Now, if you ask permission to brainstorm, here's what's super important about it. You must have multiple ideas, because if you only have one or two ideas, that basically means you're giving advice. Not going to work. Next, zero investment in any of them, zero time explaining or defining or anything else. So be true to the brainstorm model. What does this look like in a conversation? You may say to the client, may I have your permission to brainstorm with you? And if they give you permission, you may say something like, okay, so you threw out this idea and this idea. Another idea is, and you give an idea, and you say, what's another one? And you invite them to jump back in. Whatever they give, you can say, what else? And then you may jump in and say, okay, and another idea is, and you give another one, and you ask them for another idea, and then you give another one, and you go back and forth throwing out ideas. Make sure it's a true brainstorm. An additional possibility here, if you're really stuck, we got to have lots of techniques and tools in our tool bag here, is to do what's called a reverse brainstorm. So oftentimes when people are brainstorming and they're struggling to figure out what to say, it's because they don't want to be embarrassed by throwing out a stupid idea. Or, gee, maybe that's not the right answer, and they're unsure of that. Well, when you ask for a stupid idea, you've taken away that pressure. So a reverse brainstorm is saying, okay, no good ideas, only stupid, dumb, crazy ideas. What is the craziest idea that you can come up with here? Oh, they can come up with crazy ideas. And it even gets them laughing. You break the ice and you move forward. And then you say, okay, no good ideas yet. What are a few mediocre ideas? And they give you a few mediocre ideas, and then you back into, okay, and what are some good ideas to consider? The irony of this approach is that often the idea they throw out as a stupid idea is actually a brilliant idea, and that's okay. By backing into it and relieving the pressure for it being a good idea, you've opened the door for them to truly brainstorm. So we have several techniques for working through getting them to come up with multiple options for themselves. When they've come up with multiple options for themselves, you want to say to them, if the other person were here, what options do they want to add? And you have them share options from the perspective of the other person they're in conflict with. And you get multiple options from that perspective. Now that you have all these different options on the table, you're choosing which option is going to work. One way to ask that is say, what's an option that will work for everyone involved? A different way is to say, which ones do you want to eliminate from consideration? Or which options do you want to combine to create a whole new option for this? So multiple ways of coming at it. Ultimately, it's inviting the client to choose which options they want to move forward with. Now, in terms of the P, the planning process, if you are speaking with an individual client, clearly they've got to have a conversation with the person they're in conflict with to ultimately decide and make the plan. What you have done is role modeled a process for them that they can use for that conversation. So in a case like that, your conversation is much like saying to them, okay, so how do you want to approach this with the other person? What's your plan for managing this conflict? And have them create strategies, action steps for themselves to approach the other person, have the conversation, whatever it is they want to do to manage or address the conflict. So the planning part is their plan to move forward on addressing the conflict. Now let's consider this if you're coaching both people that are in conflict, and let's walk through the steps that way. So if I have two individuals sitting here, both of them are in conflict with each other, that's where it's at. We're going to start with the S, the story. So my first challenge comes up, who gets to talk first? So if you think about realistically what might happen, very commonly it's whoever talks the loudest or the fastest that goes first. In a case like this, what's important to know is that as coach, don't make the decision. Because if you decide who goes first, you've essentially chosen sides. So that means asking them, who do they want to have go first? And they get to choose. If they are truly stuck and cannot decide who goes first, then have a neutral way of choosing. Flip a coin, whatever it may be. So once it's decided who's going to go first, as a coach, you, again, you invite them to tell their story. You actively listen, which includes rephrasing, summarizing succinctly what they said, and then reflecting back the emotions behind the words. You confirm with them that that is an accurate understanding. What is happening in the background? The person who isn't going first, who's still waiting, is going to have a hard time really hearing the person who goes first. What they can hear and understand is the rephrasing and the reflecting back of emotions that the coach is doing. And so it creates that awareness. When the first person is complete on sharing their story, you turn to the second person and you say, okay, pretend like I haven't heard anything yet. I have no idea what's going on. In your own words, what do you want to say about this situation? The reason that setup is important is because without it, that second person will only speak to what the first person said. They'll counter or argue or whatever, and it goes downhill fast. So saying to them, pretend like I don't know anything, in your own words, tell me what's going on, you get their side of the story. And it is so important they have a chance also to be heard and understood, which means you're using the same process. You're actively listening. You're rephrasing back succinctly what they said. You're reflecting back their emotions behind the words, confirming the understanding. Similarly to when the first person spoke, when the second person is speaking, the first one may not hear a lot of it. They can hear the coach rephrase and reflect back. And ultimately, what you're gaining is some understanding of each other in this process. Once each of them has had a chance to tell their story, you move to your T, the topics. Simply ask both what topics are to be addressed to handle this. And whatever they throw out goes on the list. And you make sure each of them is adding whatever topics they believe have to be addressed to that list. When they have their list of topics, you're asking them, what's the order to go through these topics? And it may be they come to agreement pretty quickly because it's obvious, hey, quick win, or hey, everything else is dependent on this. It may be you share those observations, or it may be you have a neutral way of doing it. Flip a coin, and whoever gets that coin toss picks the first topic, the next person picks the second topic, and you just move on through. When your list of topics and the order you're going to address them is in place, you move into the first topic. Now you're asking each of them for options. Again, bring in all of the techniques we just talked about. Somebody says, I don't know. You say, if you did know. If somebody says, no, I don't have any ideas, can't come up with anything, you invite them to share it from a different perspective. You invite them to give you advice. You do a reverse brainstorm, whatever works so that they come up with multiple options. Hold the space for each of them to come up with multiple options. When that process is complete, you're asking them, which of these options do you want to use? If they're stuck, you ask them, what's something that will work for everyone? You may be asking, which ones do you want to eliminate and back in? You may be asking, which options do you want to combine so that it does work for everyone? And you move through the process of them selecting which options they will use. When that process is complete, you're moving to plan. In this scenario, because you have both people involved here, the plan is them deciding who's going to do what, when are they going to do it, and how are they going to do it. It is very, very important that the plan be so crystal clear that the average second grader understands it. The key to that is to prevent there being any additional conflict over it. It's got to be clear who agreed to do what, how they agreed to do it, when they agreed to do it by. And when that plan is in place, then you're wrapping up the conversation with them and check in with them. How are they feeling about the process? How are they feeling about their solution? Set them up for success with them choosing how to close out the conversation. Another possibility for conflict coaching, and this one is much less common, is when there's multiple people involved. It again is a very, very effective process. Let's talk it through. So let's say you have that group of people. The first consideration is, how many people are there and how much time is involved in terms of hearing everybody's story? So one thing that I've done is when it's a larger group, I've found out what are the groups within the group. Typically, you'll have several people that, hey, this is what we think and feel and want. And then you'll have a different group over here and a different group over there. So what you do is you put them in their small groups, have them choose a spokesperson and organize the thoughts they want to express. Alternatively, if it's a handful of people and it does make sense for each individual to have time to share their own story, approach it that way. If time is a factor and you've got to have a time limit on it, that's an option too. So whichever approach makes sense based on the group, you ensure that each person is heard and understood, whether through a summary for several of them or individually. That involves the act of listening, the rephrasing, and the reflecting. And then you move to your T. What are the topics to be addressed? If you have multiple groups you're dealing with, the spokesperson from each group is the one who is offering the topics. If it's a handful of people, then everybody there is offering topics. You're ensuring that each has a chance to add to the list. You want to make sure it is one list, literally, physically, one list. Because if you have separate lists going, they are still separate and divided. So one list. And when they have that list, you're asking them which topic in which order and sorting through that. Then you move to options. And again, inviting either the spokesperson for the smaller groups within the larger group or everybody involved when it's a handful of people. And you get multiple options. Use all of the techniques we've been talking about. Now, with a group of people, I will suggest the reverse brainstorm can be an initial go-to with the different techniques. Play with the others as appropriate. So once everybody has chimed in with multiple options, it's clear we have several options from each perspective, you're choosing which option to use. And it may be you have a voting system if there's a lot of people. Alternatively, if it's a handful of people, they're literally talking it through. What's an option that's going to work for everyone? Whether you eliminate and back in, combine, or simply ask them what's rising to the top here that's going to work for everyone. When they have their options decided, you move to your planning stage. With a larger group of people, there's various elements involved, additional considerations. So it's very important to be crystal clear again on who's doing what, when are they doing it, how are they doing it? And even within the smaller groups, what's the breakdown there? Okay, this group is agreeing to do this. Okay, who within the group is doing it? When are they doing it? How are they doing it? Or it may be several people are doing those things. What's the accountability to the small group and to the larger group? And ask them that question. When it's a handful of people, similar conversation as when you have a couple people where each is saying, who's going to do what? When are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? And then you're wrapping up the conversation. You're checking in with them. What are their thoughts on the conversation? How did it work for them? What are their takeaways from their conversation? How do they see this moving forward? And how does having had this conversation help them in the future? So multiple scenarios, whether it's individuals, two people involved in conflict, a small group involved in conflict, or a large group in conflict. To share with you, back when I was training mediators and doing the research, hey, does this really work? How well does it work? One statistic that I found, and I think it's fascinating, in the United States, when people go to court, better than 60% of the time, literally on their way out the door of the courtroom, they're saying, I don't care what the judge said. I am doing this my own way. And yes, they end up back in court. When you use this process that's just been described, better than 90% of the time, people resolve the conflict and they follow through on that resolution. Fascinating thought behind all of this is the similarity between conflict mediation and coaching. When we get into a coaching conversation, we invite the client to share their story, to figure out the topics they want to move through, to explore their options, and to create their plan. Just as we're doing in a conflict mediation process. So conflict coaching absolutely makes sense. If you are a coach dealing with individuals, it will most commonly be conflicts those individuals are dealing with. If you are a coach that works in the corporate space, works with businesses, this is an incredible offering for your clients. There's a quote from Helga Rhodes. She said, conflict is a fact of life. It does not have to be a way of life. So what does that tell us? We all deal with conflict. The question is, are we managing in a way that it's good? We're all learning and gaining and coming up with new ideas as a result of it? Or is it really going downhill? It is there. So individually, yes, most commonly it's individual conflicts. When you work with businesses and companies and you can offer conflict coaching for groups or teams, it's an incredible opportunity. Think of the value add for your clients. Think about how that serves them. In addition to this being an offering for you as a coach, providing to your clients, this process can also be used informally. So it may be, hey, this isn't about being engaged to do conflict coaching. And at the same time, that conflict is there. So going through that process is very much in keeping with your coaching process, using those steps, following that flow, and you're supporting them with regular coaching using this conflict coaching model that's been shared here. A closing thought for all of you. conflict really can be a good thing. It's an opportunity to create understanding, to expand awareness, to consider multiple perspectives, and to brainstorm multiple ideas. And that makes the outcome richer. When more people add to what it is, there's more value to what it is. I'm Kathy at the Center for Coaching Certification. Come visit us at www.coachcert.com. Have a great day.